by 1990, no Australian child will be living in poverty.
That was the promise made in 1987 by then Australian Prime Minister Bob Hawke. Sadly, the realisation of that goal, however noble or well-intentioned, remains as elusive now as it was at the time. One of the most alarming findings of the Poverty in Australia report published in October 2014 is that 18% of Australian children are living in poverty, and the 2.5 million people, or 13% of our population, are living below the poverty line. Media spokesperson for the Salvation Army, Dr. Bruce Redman, says that as a result, the resources of welfare agencies such as his are being stretched to the limit.
People that have never been to see us before, people who have maybe supported us in the past, have ordered our Christmas appeal or our Red Shield appeal or whatever, and they're finding themselves reluctantly turning up at the door and saying, guess what, I need some help. And of course, one of the very important things for us, as I know it is for Tobin Brothers, is that we like people to maintain their dignity and to feel like it's not a bad thing to ask for a hand. And this is a really disturbing thing. You know, we like to think that there would be a reduction in the number of people who are living below the poverty line, but it isn't the case. Now, why is that? A multitude of reasons. It's got to do with macroeconomic stuff and microeconomic stuff, and I don't understand a lot of that. All I see is that people are hurting and they're doing it tough. And I think there's a number of other reasons. I mean, some people get themselves into all sorts of strife, whether it's because of addiction or of all sorts of types. Or one of the ones that really disturbs me personally, and I know it does for many people in society, is around family and domestic violence. We have found that more and more women are becoming homeless, and that's a real worry because most of the time those women who are homeless and have been as the result of a family violence situation have got a gaggle of kids with them. So if they're living in a car or they're in someone's garage or couch surfing or whatever, it's not just them, but it's kids as well.
And I mean, talking of kids, that same report found that almost 18% of this country's children are victims of poverty. That is very sad, isn't it?
Look, it is. And, you know, I think when Bob Hawke said that little statement about, you know, no child would live in poverty, I think he was very sincere about that, and he really wanted to make a change and try to work towards something. But unfortunately, it's still an issue. It's really starting to bite. The economic stuff is starting to bite. There have been price rises across many things, especially here in Melbourne. We're seeing, especially around accommodation, it's just ridiculous. It's getting really expensive. I moved here from interstate a couple of years ago, having been originally a Melbourne boy, and trying to find a rental property that actually fits within any sort of a wage is really very, very difficult. To even to think about buying now for many people is just beyond their means. There's almost 30,000 people on the list waiting for public housing. So that's not going to happen in a hurry. And the problem is, you know, we've just had a state election and nobody talks about this stuff. You know, it's not part of anyone's particular plan to, oh, we're going to fix homelessness, we're going to, you know, really do something about public housing. We, you know, that doesn't change governments. It doesn't make people sit up and look at what's going on. And that really concerns me.
Are you saying really that what a lot of people believe, and that is that governments really by and large are out of touch with grassroots Australia?
Look, certainly in terms of poverty and homelessness, there's no two ways about it. There are some individual ministers who are very good in the sense that that's their portfolio. But for them to try and get above the gaggle of of all the other stuff that people are going on about, it's very, very difficult. And, you know, people, it's very easy for people to sort of turn their back on it and sort of go, oh, yeah, well, look, you know, that's a hard problem. We can't do anything about that. So let's deal with, you know, being able to drive our car to work or not, or what registration is going to cost, or what stamp duty is going to be, or, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, we're all like that. That's the way we are. But there are certainly a lot of people doing it tough, and it's getting tougher, and it's not going to go away.
The popular catch cry has always been, thank God for the salvos. And I'm sort of wondering, Bruce, how you would react to the view that the salvos are constantly providing Band-Aid solutions to a problem that some people would suggest really needs major surgery.
Yeah, I think This is something that we are really concerned about, and we have many, many programs that we do on our own behalf and also on behalf of the government. And sometimes there are programs that the government doesn't want to buy into, and so we just go, look, we can see this as an issue. We're going to, on behalf of the public, because the way that we look at money that's donated to the Salvation Army is that it's not our money. We're just holding it in trust for the public because they trust the Salvos to be able to put resources into areas where people need it most and people are in the most need. The Salvation Army really tries to work firstly with the symptoms because they're at the front line and people are in need and they need stuff straight away. But then we'll work beyond that in a case study sort of situation to be able to work out, why is this person homeless? Why, what are the effects of this woman with her children who is a survivor of family violence? How can we now help her within being drawn out of the community and the support that she's had, moving to another area, kids in another school, they've lost all their community, they've lost their sporting groups and all that sort of stuff in order to be safe. How can we help them to get involved in the community? How can we help someone who's had an addiction deal with that addiction? Whatever it happens to be, there are things that need to be dealt with. And that's where the real heart of the Salvos work is. It's not just about a Band-Aid. Yep, we have to do that. And certainly we do that in terms of our emergency relief, which is things like food vouchers and food hampers and helping people with their bills and stuff like that. But what we're really trying to do is get to the heart of the matter and to help people have a change.
I'm wondering how you feel Australia stacks up with, say, some of the other industrialised nations of the world in terms of philanthropy. And I ask you that because Dick Smith said not that long ago that as a nation, Australia's not nearly as altruistic, say, as the United States, for example, and that the taxation data for the 2012-2013 financial year indicated that charitable donations were substantially greater from small to average wage income earners than they were from corporate Australia.
America is interesting because they have got a really great history of philanthropy, and there's some very, very rich people, and it's very much seen as expected. People like Dick Smith are amazing. Twiggy Forrest is another guy who really puts his money where his mouth is. But there have been people over the years like Kerry Packer, for instance, who really wasn't known for his philanthropy very much. He was just did his thing. And if he did do it, he did it quietly. James is completely different. He's a big supporter of the Salvos and a terrific young man. I don't know. It's really about a change of heart because, as I have said before, I think Australians generally are very generous people, generous of heart, and they certainly are to the Salvos. And we very much appreciate it, and we really treasure the place in the heart that we have in Australians' hearts. And I love it when I'm out collecting for Red Shield, as I have for the last 50 years, knocking on people's doors or standing in a shopping centre or whatever, or an intersection, and people come up and they'll, with a smile, they'll give you a little donation. They'll go, "We always give to the Salvos. You know, you helped my dad in the war," or, "You know, we always give to the Salvos. My mum was completely destitute, but you helped us, and we'll always help the Salvos because of that." You know, it's terrific.
I'm also wondering, though, Bruce, whether, because there is so much need now for financial aid both here and overseas, whether, however worthy Australian charities are, that people are not becoming a little donor fatigued, I guess.
Look, I completely agree, and that certainly the figures are saying that. And one of the issues you've got is that there are so many causes now, and many of them are great causes. And you know, whether it's cancer or white ribbon or this disease or that disease or whatever the campaign happens to be, most of them are really, really great causes. And I think people are a little bit sort of torn in terms of which way do I go. There's only so much that we've all got in our budget in terms of what we can actually give, and it can be a bit tricky.
I've been talking to Dr. Bruce Rittman of the Salvation Army. I'm Michael Lynch, and this podcast has been produced by Creative Communication, a division of Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. Thank you.